black thing go from left to right, and I thought, I'm going to die out here. No one's ever going to know.
And I couldn't believe what my eyeballs were showing me. I'll never forget how evil the eyes were. But it was horrible. I mean, I've never seen nothing that evil.
It ran towards me at a rate that I can't even explain. Turned and stared at me. And this look of, I just want to kill you. I want to say it was human, but it wasn't.
He was yelling at me to grab a gun, grab a gun. I was like, for what? He said, just grab a gun. And there's footprints all the way to the door of my house. It had went inside my garage all the way to the door.
911, what are you reporting?
Jesus Christ, you better... Sheriff, see ya.
Hello?
Get somebody out here.
What's going on now, sir?
That son of a bitch is about 6'9", I don't know.
Do you see him now, sir?
Yes, I'm looking right at him.
Uh-oh.
You're listening to Sasquatch Chronicles. Check us out online at sasquatchchronicles.com. If you've had an encounter, email me. My email address is wes@sasquatchchronicles.com. Welcome to the show, everyone. Thanks for being here tonight. Got a call from Bob Gimlin from the Patterson Gimlin film. If you listen to the show, you know who Bob Gimlin is. But and they recently had an event, the 50-year anniversary of the Patterson Gimlin film. They were going to celebrate that. They were going to celebrate Bob's birthday, and it's supposed to be this great event. And it went south pretty quick. And I know a long time ago when I was having troubles with the show, with a co-host, and had all kinds of problems, the first guy that called me was Bob Gimlin. And Bob said, hey, Wes, if you need me, I'm here for you. If you want me to come on the show, I'm here for you. You just let me know. And that always meant the world to me. And it just meant so much to me. And so when Bob called me earlier and said, hey, can we turn on the mics? Can I come on and talk about what went down at the 50-year anniversary of the Patterson Gimlin film? Would you mind if I come on? Because he knows I have a larger audience. And, you know, I was like, yeah, Bob, you're always welcome to come on and anytime. And so it kind of became a mess. It's a little bit different of a type of show than you guys are used to. I know you guys are used to encounters and us talking about sounds and different things. So tonight's going to be a little bit different. I told Bob he was welcome to come on the show and get this off his chest and talk about what happened while he was down there. Earlier in the week, I know Russell and Bob posted a video. I'll play a little clip here in a moment. But Bob called me and said, hey, Wes, do you mind if I just come on and get it off my chest? So before I bring Bob on, I'll play the audio from earlier in the week. Take a listen.
Hey, everybody. We're live. We're headed home after a conference in Willow Creek in Eureka. And we're now... Where the hell are we, Bob?
Well, we're heading into Grants Pass, Oregon. And by golly, I'll tell you, folks, I just like to tell you, folks, things went on down there at the 50th anniversary thing where for the film footage for Patterson Gimlin film footage, and between Mark DeWorth and Tom Gameron, they wouldn't let me speak because they were a little bit afraid, but I got slammed harder than a hurricane in a shithouse door. So I just want y'all to know that those two guys really shut me down and come on pretty strong. I wasn't very happy about it. You'll probably hear about it in the next few days, and I imagine they'll be pretty dadgum closed mouth and wish they'd have been a little tighter lipped about things.
I think the weekend, the people that were there, the support group, you had some really neat people show up and got to sign a lot of really neat stuff and meet some great people.
Oh, I met some incredible people. A lot of them I knew before, and they came there to visit with me and hear me talk and have some quality time with me. And of course, I was denied all of that. Basically, there was some quality time. But, you know, you don't interrupt the great speakers that they had there. They had some really great speakers. didn't speak, but he was there. So you guys are all pretty much familiar with the people that were there. And it was a shame that that went on, especially at the 50th anniversary of the Patterson-Gimlin film footage. And that was what it was supposed to be all about, but it turned out to be a real circus.
That circus is a nice way to put that. It was not about Bob Gimlin. By the end of the show, it was not about you at all, when they would not even let you speak.
Right.
And I understand there were some people that were not happy about you not being able to hear you speak, but it wasn't our conference. It turned out that it wasn't about you at all. It was not. It wasn't a celebration of you. It was a whole different agenda. So I'm sorry it went that way, Bob.
Well, I am too, and a lot of people spoke to me about when Bob, we're waiting to hear you get up and speak. And at that particular time when I was talking to him, I had no idea that they was going to just shut me down. But they were a little bit leery of me getting up speaking because they're probably afraid of what I'd say. I wasn't going to say anything negative about anybody, but I think they were a little leery of that because of the negativity that went on earlier. And I wasn't aware of it until finally it come out on Facebook. Tom Yemron put it on Facebook, and I'm not trying to beat anybody up. It's just that I want to facts as facts, and that's the way it was, folks. So don't feel sorry for me at all that I didn't get to speak, because this conference, there was many, many people there that said, well, Bob, we come here to see you, talk to you, visit with you, and actually hear you speak. Well, those are great people, and I hope I get an opportunity to make it up to them somewhere down the line.
Can we go on record? Since I've met you, Bob, I've always just thought really highly of you. This summer, we took a few months out and put a DVD together. We put some pictures together. And since then, I've actually taken a role of helping you manage your time and your conferences and getting you places. But the wrong message is being sent. If you guys know anything about Bob Gimlin, if he does not want to do something, you're going to hear it. I don't want to do that. He's a friendly guy. He's a loving man. He's as awesome as they come. But for some reason, people think that I am dictating to Bob and telling him what he can and cannot do. And buddy, if you need to tell them how you feel about that, because that's where the whole blow up came up, where I asked the people, please do not video film Bob. I didn't say anything about still pictures, but we're in the middle of putting together just an extremely big film on Bob Gimlin and the film and what happened at Willow Creek that day. And one thing that we don't want is 10 million videos out there on YouTube, because it starts to diminish the value of being able to see Bob in a film. So we got a contract set up. We've got tons of hours and money is being spent getting this film. This is an actual movie. It's not a little YouTube or it's not a little documentary like I did. This is actually a full feature big deal. So when we ask for the respect of please do not film Bob, you take all the pictures you want, you talk to the man all you want, but we don't want films all over the place. And you need to respect his wishes on that. And if you want people filming you, you tell them go ahead and film, or if you don't want them to, but you tell them what you want. And if you're not happy, or if you are, speak your mind, Bob.
Hey, Russ said it all, Anna, right there. Hey, and they talked about me having guards there. That's a bunch of BS. These people were there with me, were personal friends, very good friends, and they were there because I asked them if they'd go. And Russ isn't dictating a darn thing. He's helping me more than anybody else has ever done out there in the past. And I want that documented. Russ is a personal friend also, and he's not asking me anything. Because I wear a sweatshirt that had Russ's logo on it from his conference, you know, it just burns me. Those sweatshirts are very warm, and I can wear any kind of shirt I want. Nobody offered me anything else. I picked this one up and begged Russ for it. So he never said anything about me wearing it. He just figured, I guess the old man wants to wear it, so he's going to wear it. And that's what I did, folks. And I feel that anybody that thinks Russ is pushing me into anything, they better back up and take a better look at it. I know I got a little hot under the collar about the things that they was saying about it down there. And folks, anybody that was there, I apologize to you folks about it. I won't do that again. It's just that I didn't know about it until it was presented to me. And once it was, then I got a little upset because I thought those guys were my friends. So I found out that when you're friends, you got to be careful because they'll stab you in the belly and twist the knife.
Well, guys, I want to end all of this on a positive note. This has been coming down here to Oregon and getting to see all the sights that we saw. This was a road trip that will be etched in history forever. We got to spend Bob's 86th birthday with him. We got to go down to the Willow Creek and see the museum and meet a lot of amazing people. It wasn't always ideal what was taking place. It was a little bit disorganized, but when the conference is all building up to this moment, when Bob gets to take the stage and pick up that microphone and say thank you, he wasn't even given that. And that broke my heart.
Bob, I did mine too.
Bob should have been treated with a little bit of respect. And for 50 years, it all came to this one day where we hit that 50-year anniversary, and he was disrespected and blackballed all in the blink of an eye because of ego. And there's nobody in this Bigfoot community that is bigger than this gentleman right here. And don't disrespect him. I love this guy. I have put so much time, money, and effort into him. I do not take from Bob. When we get money on that table, I put it in his wallet. And if you think that there's a lot of money in these DVDs and pictures, you're wrong. But whatever money there is, he's got it in his wallet. I make my own money. I don't need this man's money. I need this man to live the next many years with dignity and respect. And I will always give him that. I ask that you guys do the same thing.
Well, thank you, Russ. That's well said, because Russ has never taken anything from me, and he doesn't have any intentions to. He gives me more. He sticks that money in my wallet, and I didn't even really want it, but he insisted, and he spends all of his money, him and Gary and Jeff here on this trip. And by golly, we've had a great trip together. I'll tell you, these three guys to travel with are a real hoot. And it's one of the best trips I've had in a long, long time, folks.
It was funny, too.
It was good. I'll tell you what, couldn't be a better bunch of men to travel with than these three guys I'm with. And if I ever get an opportunity to travel with them again, I'll cherish it.
Oh, yeah. And for the record, whenever you have a speaker or whenever you put on a conference, there's a couple of things that should be laid out first. And I know this from my very, very limited experience in putting on a conference. But when I have a speaker come to my conference, I do a couple of things. I make sure their transportation is taken care of. When they come to town, I make sure their hotel is taken care of and they can go directly to the room and be comfortable. And if somebody has an honorarium like the likes of Dr. Jeff Meldrum, or if somebody says it's going to cost this bit of a fee to show up if you're going to advertise me and bring a crowd in, they don't leave the building without being paid first. And that was promised to Bob. And when we left last night after the big giant debacle that took place, we want to go on record. Bob, did anybody pay for anything?
They never paid a dime for anything. And reneged on what they were supposed to pay me down there and made the statement, we're going to send it to your wife. And I said, well, my wife wasn't the one that came down here. And they told Russ fair and square that would be money right there. And for them to renege on it, it doesn't upset me. It just tells me how cheap they really are. And I shouldn't say cheap, but what goes on in their minds is so petty. It's unreal. I can't believe that the people that I thought were good friends of mine were basically the enemy.
They're not your enemy, Bob. I think they... I mean, and I don't mean to disrespect and argue with you on this, but I don't think they viciously and had the intention of having this turn out poorly.
Well, I think it's
ego and emotion got in the way, and the decisions were not made in a clear mindset. I think that, and this is not about who we can bash on or who we can smash on. This is about moving forward, our path forward. It's not going to be about anybody but Bob. We're here to support Bob, make him successful, and if you're not behind us on that, then don't involve yourself in it. If you can't be a supportive and take care of this man, then we don't need your help.
No,
so there's going to be fewer conferences that are gone to. And if there is conferences gone to, things are going to be taken care of ahead of time before this man shows up. He's better than that. He's more valuable than that. He's an asset to everything Bigfoot. Who else out there can say they have had 50 years experience and have the evidence this man has? Not a one of us. Nobody.
Thank you for covering that, Russ.
Yep.
Hey, if any of you out there got any questions you want to ask me personally.
Yeah.
Don't put it out on Facebook and gather a group behind them to stand behind it. Talk to me. I'll face you right up. I like to meet things head on and talk about them. And
yeah.
None of this penny-ante stuff of doing it behind my back and then me not knowing about it until it comes out on Facebook. You know, that's not a fair shake. I try to be fair with everybody out there. Always have and always will. And to get slammed that hard, just like I said a little bit ago, get slammed.
What'd you say, slam harder than a shithouse door in a tornado?
That's exactly what I said, and that's the way I felt. You know, and folks, I don't mean
it's funny, but it's not
vulgar stuff. But you know, when you get betrayed by people like you don't expect it, it hits you pretty darn hard, folks. And but I really do appreciate all the people that came to that, and the ones I got to talk to, new friends and friends that I've had for quite a long time that came there to visit and see me and talk to me and actually hear me talk. Hear me speak on the program, and I was denied all of that.
We're going to finish out with this. Randy, if you backtrack and play this thing back, you'll find out what happened. But if you, here's the thing. I'm in the truck with Bob right now. I don't have a gun to his head. He's not tied to the seat, anything else. But I will tell you this. If you have Bob's number and you have questions, he's going to be home. Give him a day or two to recover from this trip because we've been on the run. We've seen so much. We've been busy this several days. But if you have any questions, I'm going to be at work 80 miles away. Bob will be home. You can pick up the phone and talk to this man. And nobody's going to ask him or lead the conversation or tell him what to say. Ask your questions. Hear it from the man himself. And just get your facts straight before you start taking sides.
Yeah.
If you have a problem with the way Bob's being treated, ask Bob how he feels about it. And if he's not being treated well, trust me, he'll let me know.
Yes, I will.
We've crossed that bridge.
Yes, we
will. And we're golden.
So,
love you guys.
Yep, love you. Excuse me, right?
Yeah, no, you say it first.
Okay, love you guys. Thank you. And I hope to see you all somewhere down the trail.
Been an amazing trip. We've got, another 10 hours ahead of us. We're in Grants Pass, whatever long it takes us to get home. Take care, people.
What a mess. That was from earlier in the week. That was a Facebook Live video Bob did with Russell A. Cord when they were coming back from the conference. And, you know, there's a lot of people you can mess with in the Bigfoot world. And I don't know if the UFO world is like this or like the paranormal world. But there's a lot of people you can screw with. You know, people screw with me every day. Ron Moorhead, Derek Randles, Dr. Meldrum. There's a lot of people you can get away with it. But Bob Gimlin's not one. He's not one of them that you can get away with it on. And so again, normally I don't do midweek shows. You don't hear from me. Normally I'm doing interviews and I'm talking to witnesses and lining up shows. So when Bob called me tonight and said, Wes, can I come on the air? Can I clear? Can I get off my chest what actually happened on your show? Would that be okay? You know, and again, it's Bob Gimlin, man. Of course you can. So I want to welcome Bob Gimlin to the show. Thanks for coming on, Bob.
Well, thank you for having me on.
No, I appreciate you coming on, and I'm so sorry to hear what actually went down. And I don't know actually what went down, but I was getting bits and pieces of it online. If you would, just kind of tell us what happened.
Well, you know, we all went down there for the reason and for good faith and thinking that everybody would be happy and honest about it. And come to find out, it wasn't that way at all. It seemed to be a make-money situation and forget about anybody talking or about me talking about what happened October 20th on a Saturday afternoon in 1967. And there was a lot of people that told me, well, Bob, we came from all over the different parts of the United States to be able to see you, visit with you, and hear what you had to say about that day, that particular day. Well, I was denied that, but I was really upset about things that went on actually before that, you know, when friends, supposedly good friends, and people that I just treated them like my family, they undermined me and started to recruit many people to go against Russell and I. And they have no idea and didn't even ask me what my relationship and our relationship with the DVDs or anything that we were working on. They just assumed something and kind of made a statement that I was a senile old man, didn't know what I was doing. Well, I know what I'm doing, and I'm not senile. I'm perfectly, I ride horses every day still yet. I just got off one a little bit ago and come in. But anyway, this is really depressing, and I was so upset down there for the friends and stuff that undermined me, and I was kind of warned about it, but I it was hard to believe that they were really going to do it to me. And then when it came about, I kind of almost lost it. You know, I was just so depressed and so beat up about it that I thought, well, I don't know why. And I felt sorry for all the people that traveled and paid their money to come there. And you know, I wanted to apologize to them, but I never even had a chance. And if those two guys would have only known, it was getting a little bit late, and I was going to get up and praise them for putting on the conference. But they never even gave me a chance to welcome people there or praise them for what I felt was really hammering me. But I was going to just say, well, they put on a great conference, had great speakers, which they did have great speakers there. The list just goes on and on. John Mynsinski, Jeff Meldrum, Dr. Jeff Meldrum, and many more great speakers, Bob and Kathy Strang. It just went on and on and on, and I just hope that the people did sit there and that missed me talking did enjoy the speakers, and because they're all great speakers. But anyway, this thing went on until whenever Dr. Jeff Meldrum got to speak, and I was supposed to be next up to finish it all off. Well, all I was going to get up and say, make it very short, folks, it's getting late. I know you all have been real patient, but thank you for coming. And I thank Tom Yamron and Mark DeWart for putting on a great conference. And I hope you all have a good time, and we'll get together again at some other conference, and I'll be able to talk a little bit more because I know the time is running short. So I went by, that's what I was going to say, but I didn't get the opportunity. They wouldn't let me say it. But when Dr. Meldrum got through speaking, he went over and sat down at his table, and I needed to go into the bathroom, so I went over and stopped and congratulated Dr. Meldrum for his presentation, which was very good, always is. And then I went on to the bathroom, and I came out of the bathroom, and there was people standing there that would like for me to sign some stuff for them. And then John Kirk talked to me about the event that when I got upset at Tom and demanded he get up and apologize for what he was doing there with that thing that he recruited a lot of people to say at the dinner, raise your glass and say, save Bob. Well, when I first heard that, I couldn't understand what it meant at all,
Let me ask you, I don't mean to cut you off, but so, and I understand you're upset, and believe me, I completely get it. I think that this, the anniversary of the Patterson-Gimlin film probably meant more to you than probably most conferences you go to. This was very, I know it was very special to you. But how did it all, so Mark DeWirth and Tom Yammeron, it sounded like there were some problems there, but how did it start? I mean, people were talking about a contract or something online, being able to film you, and then what was going on with all that?
Russ and I are and Gary and the ones that we're in the process of making some other things, and we just didn't want it to interfere with what our work was, and so we asked them, please don't film Bob while he's talking. And so it upset some people that wanted to film me, and it was just that way. And Russ and mine contract was just like Russell said before, we started out with a contract, and it was 80-20 contract. I was going to take 20% and Russell 80 because he was paying for everything. And he said, no, I won't do that, Bob. He said, I'm not going to take that. I don't want that contract. So we just aborted it, kind of. Never was signed. And I knew Russell was going to be fair with me all the way because I trust Russell all the way. And we didn't have any problems with what was going to be settled because it was settled that if something happened to me, all the money would go to my daughter. And Russ and I both agreed on that. There was no disagreement. And it went on, if anything happened to Russ, it would, or me, it'd go to my daughter. All the money would go to my daughter. It wasn't going to go to me at all because I didn't need that. I mean, and she needs it, so that's where it was going. And so these people are coming up with Russ is taking advantage of me. They don't know what they're talking about, and they should get the facts before they start campaigning and things like that. That really hurts me bad. I'm still having bad days over that Saturday night deal, what they pulled down there. And, if it hadn't happened to me right there, witness it, I would have had a hard time believing what they did because I trusted those guys.
Yeah, it sounds like it. I mean, it sounds like a lot of jealousy going on. And I've known about the stuff behind the scenes. I know, like, with the DVD Russ put out. Most people don't know it. I mean, he sold his Harley and he's been nothing, him and I have had a lot of private conversations and you and I have talked and, and the part that makes me laugh is I don't think anyone could take advantage of Bob. I know everyone sees you as a nice old man, but I'm sure there's a country boy in there too as well that ain't going to put up with it. So I kind of laugh when... I guess that's where the Free Bob hashtag came from. I started seeing that online. I was like, well, what's this Free Bob hashtag? Was it because you guys asked him not to film you?
Yeah, I guess so. I didn't understand the Free Bob thing either. But that was put into context before, earlier, started with the birthday party thing that Tom Yammeron said he wasn't invited. Well, that was not true. He was invited. He was invited personally by me and asked him to show up. And just because he had had some problems with the little girls that put the birthday party on with me. He gave them a bad time and quite a few different times over different things, and most of it was over the birthday party that he told them that I was too old and senile to do anything, and then he blocked the thing right there. Tommy Amron blocked the thing right there for them to have it in town so people could make it to the birthday party easy. They had to go out of town, rent a house that was difficult to get to, but it didn't make any difference anyway, and they had a great singer there by the name of Lenny Green that sang, and he's a personal friend of mine, and so it was all good. But then Tom made it into a real bad scene not there. He didn't show up, but Russell got on the phone and tried to get him to come to that, but he couldn't make any connections with anybody at home or with Tom. And so it was just all an undermined thing, this free Bob thing coming up, and a lady tried to warn me about it on Friday, a real personal friend of Tommy Amron's and myself, and she was crying and saying, "Bob, I don't know. I can't talk about it. I'm so upset." And I said, "Okay, well," I still didn't understand the free Bob thing until it really hit me hard when it all come down, you know. And by golly, I'll tell you, when you think you got a friend and they hammer you that hard, it knocks you plumb out of the saddle, you know. You just can't hardly focus on why somebody would do that when it was supposed to be a real nice conference about the Roger Patterson and Bob Gimlin film. It was made 50 years prior to that, and it turned into just a sour, bitter thing down there.
Well, it's par for the course when it comes to the Bigfoot world. That's generally how people act in the Bigfoot world. You know, small men, everyone's trying to get daddy's attention, and it sounds like there's some jealousy going on there. You know, on the free Bob thing, I get it now. They were saying free from Russell, so he could get away. And, you know, it's just childish. And what a time to be doing it at a conference. I mean, Jesus Christ. What was the deal with dinner? I know, I had talked to some people and they were really pissed, because they were like, yeah, we paid to go to this dinner and Bob wasn't even there. And at first I thought the free Bob thing was because you were in the hospital or something like that. Then I said that's true. Go ahead, Bob.
Well, nobody come and talk to me about the free Bob thing. It was all an undermined thing that they didn't know anything about Russell and mine's business, and they didn't bother to ask. They just started up their own little campaign and recruited as many people as they could that didn't know me, I suppose, or didn't know Russell, or I don't know how they got a few people on their side. But you know, it was so unreal that it was hard for me to believe it when the little lady tried to tell me. She didn't say the free Bob. She just said there's stuff going on at Bob that I'd like to talk to you about, but she said I can't, it hurts so bad I can't. And I said, okay, well, later on maybe we'll talk about it. I still didn't know about the free Bob thing until I saw it right on Facebook myself, and who sent it? Tom Yamron sent it. And that just hurt me. It hit me like a bullet right between the eyes. I thought, no way, of all the things that I've done, he's helped me a lot, and I took him to, I've been invited to anything that I was invited to. Tom was free to go right with me, and whatever the expenses were paid and stuff, they were paid for him also to travel with me. And you know, and I probably wouldn't have done as much traveling if it hadn't been for Tom Yamron, because I don't like air tunnels and I don't like to have to be searched, but I know it has to be done, so I would have accepted it, you know, as it must be done. But you know, all those things, and every time that I went back to Mark DeWart's thing there in Ohio, I've had a great time with the people. Met a wonderful bunch of people. Some of my personal friends went to it. And so I appreciated that, what Mark was doing too. But by the same token, I was signing all kinds of things for him and whoever asked me to. I've always done that. I've always tried to treat everybody fair and square and be good, you know, and just live up to what I'm supposed to be, the man of integrity. And I never ask anything from people at all for any reward or anything, but I have got lots of presents and I appreciate all of them. I appreciate everybody that I've met out there and would like to have spent more time, personal time with most of those folks over the different places.
Yeah, no, I hear you. And I understand you're upset and you're, I know you and Tom were buddies, you know, and that's, I hate to say it, but in the Bigfoot world, it's hard to make friends. You know what I mean? What happened with this dinner? So were you invited to this dinner? Somebody told me it was like $50 to get in and then you still had to pay for your own dinner and you weren't there and people were upset you weren't there. And were you actually invited to that dinner?
Well, I was by Terry Smith, a friend of mine also, and a friend of Tom's, the man that takes Tom around and has him do things. Yes, he walked up to the pickup when we were in the pickup leaving and invited me to it. Said, "Bob, aren't you going to go to the dinner?" And I said, "No." I said, "You know, I want to get away from all this BS that's going on and go eat dinner on quieter terms, where I'm not having to talk to people. You know, a lot of times I don't even get to eat because I don't want to be rude to people, so I stop and talk to them instead of being able to eat. And and then I guess at the dinner, Tom started rallying up troops to raise up against Russell, and the agreement that he thought that Russell and I had, and it was none of nobody's business because I was perfectly happy with mine and Russell's arrangement, and still is, and won't ever be any different. And he was being manipulated and held under some kind of, he thought that I was being manipulated and held under some kind of stress or some kind of, I don't know what they thought. I mean, if they only knew Russell and a person and knew, and I thought they knew me, this is when Tom started that hashtag free Bob thing nonsense on his Facebook page and then denied that he put it on there. And see, I try to control my temper because I have been known in the past I have a little bit of a temper. Well, it hurt me so bad, I feel I want to apologize to anybody that heard the things that I said. But I was so hurt. When I confronted Tom over it, I was a little loud and a little out of my normal character. And that's when I told him, "You get your butt up there right now and apologize." But he didn't really make a good apologize. He got up and said, "I need to apologize for Bob and Russ." He didn't say what for or why he was apologizing. So I imagine only the ones that he recruited knew what he was apologizing for. The rest of them was sitting there plainly in the dark, you know, the rest of the people that was there at the conference. And that's why I really feel bad for the people that paid money to come there and spent money to travel so far to be able to visit with me and hear me speak about the day of the film footage down there in Willow Creek. But anyway, that's kind of where it was at there, and it was very depressing, still is.
Well, I don't blame you for being upset over the whole thing. It's so you go up to speak, and what happens? You kind of went into it before. Did they cut you off, or you said Mark DeWorth took the mic, or you go up to speak, and what happens, Bob?
Well, and actually, I was told later on that they was cut off immediately. Well, that's not true either. They might have been. It was a little bit late, but there were still people all sitting there. And Mark, right away, quick, instead of letting me get up and speak, he had to start that auction out. And all the time that I was out in front visiting people, the auction was still going on. And so I don't know what happened after I left and went and sat in the pickup. I was waiting there for Russ and Gary and Jeff to come on because Russ was visiting with some people when I finally got through visiting with all of them and signing what they wanted me to sign. I went ahead and went and got in the pickup. Well, I was in the pickup for quite a little while just kind of waiting, you know, because I knew that they weren't going to have me speak by then, you know. That was, so it all was, I just thought, well, it's okay. They got to hear the good speakers speak. And I felt bad for anybody that was there to, you know, a lot of people tell me, well, Bob, we come to see you, come to hear you speak. And it makes me feel really good. Well, then when I was not allowed to speak, that didn't help the feeling any from the prior time that Tom Yamron lied to me about, not by putting it on the Facebook. And so my temper got a little out of hand, but I didn't throw no punches or anything.
Yeah.
and I'm certainly glad about that, because, you know, that would have just proved that I didn't have control. And I did have control all the time. I just got a little loud and salt.
I wouldn't blame you for being upset. You know, that's too bad. So they ran out of time, but then they go on with an auction. One part when I watched your guys' video when you guys were driving back was when they said they would send the check to your wife. And that pissed me off because, you know, I mean, I wouldn't talk to a 20-year-old guy that way. I wouldn't say, well, I'm going to send the check to your wife, let alone, you know, someone like you, Bob.
Yeah.
And so... what was the reasoning behind that? Was it just afraid Russell was going to get his dirty hands on it, or is, you know, what was the?
Well, I don't know. I think it was all started with the birthday party thing, and Tom was. I was very busy for 2 or 3 weeks before that, and when Tom talked to me 3 or 4 days before that, he said, "I'm not in." I said, "I'll see you at the birthday party," and he said, "No, I'm not invited." And I said, "Oh, now come on, Tom, get there and tell them that I invited you." Well, a guy by the name of Tom Cantrell called Tom and asked him if him and Bobo both would come to the birthday party. So I don't know what the reason was why it was turned into a really negative sort of thing, except the two gals that put the birthday party on, they said that Tom Yamron had been really nasty to them, and they personally didn't invite him. And I said, well, and she said to me, "Bob, if you want them here, we'll see if we can get them here." I said, "Yes, I want them there. Those two guys are real close friends of mine." I said, "You know, yes, I want them there." So that's when Russell got out there and tried his darndest to get a hold of somebody to get them there. It just didn't turn out. They... you know, Bobo didn't mention, when I got to talk to Bobo, he didn't mention anything bad, because Bobo's not that kind of guy. But the really sad part of it was, when I first seen Tom on Friday, he just like, "Brother Bob, I'm so good to see you." And I said, "Tom, I love you. It's so good to see you here and know you're doing good." And he knew all the time that he was doing that free Bob thing and wouldn't even address it to me so we could get it straightened out before he started recruiting a bunch of people to raise their glass and say, "Free Bob," at the dinner.
Yeah, I mean, and I guess for people who aren't in the Bigfoot world, we're talking about grown men. We're not talking about, yeah, you know, totally. high school. We're actually talking about grown men here. That amazes me. That completely amazes me. What a shame. What a shame for your birthday. Yeah. What a shame for the 50-year anniversary to have it go turn into this. You know, I probably wouldn't believe it either unless you told me, to be honest with you. I'd be like, I can't see that happening. But apparently it can.
Well, thank you so much for looking at it that way, because it hurt me really bad, still does. You know, you expect friends to treat you good like they have always. And when they undermine you and try to do something bad to you, and for somebody that's done so much for me, like Russell Accord, he's done more for me than anybody else ever has, and wanted me to take, he paid for everything. Russ paid for the whole trip going down and everything, the rooms, the food, the gas. He never asked me for one red cent. And then for people to come and do something like that, it was so unnecessary and so cruel. It was just downright cruel. And I don't even know how to I try to get over it. My wife and I have been talking about it ever since I got home Sunday night. And she didn't understand at first until I explained to her. And but anyway, because she was a real good friend of Tom Yamron's, treated him just like he was our own kid. And that's the way we felt about Tom. And we felt so bad, we funneled quite a bit of money down to him for money for his deal, and come to find out, for his stroke, and come to find out he had insurance all the time. The only thing that has expired just recently is his treatment down there, where he goes once a week for his treatment for rehab. That has expired. So, but I would think that all the money that he's got earlier in the early days, Mark DeWorth was supposed to have gotten a lot of money from, and I know a lot of people have sent money, and Judy and I sent quite a little bit down there, and was going to send once every month, we were going to send another $500. And so, for him to undermine me and Russ that way, it really does hurt.
Yeah. No, I can hear in your voice. That would hurt me. That would definitely hurt me. You know, it's...
Well, thank you so much for talking to me about this. And
no, you're welcome, Bob.
And I think Russell and I are just going to heal up from it and go on. We're not going to let these penny-ante things knock us down. You know, we're just going to pick up our toys and go on, and we will forgive, but we darn sure won't forget. Let me tell you that. It's just one of those things that you can't forget very quick.
I understand. And Russell's not the enemy, I guess, for people out there. If I thought that Russell was screwing Bob over in any way, you know, he'd probably have a visit from me and Woody. You know, it's, and he's not, you know, and for people out there, you know, I'm glad you called me, Bob, because just set that record straight, because I know stuff that happened in behind the scenes that you don't hear, people never heard on the show. And Russell is, he's trying to, I think Russell admires you. I think I know he's proud to call you a friend, and I think he's been trying to help you. I mean, I don't see where, like a free Bob hashtag or making such a commotion. It sounds like a bunch of jealousy is what it sounds like to me.
Well, it sounds that way to me. And Russell's not trying to take nothing from me. He's trying to make everything better for me, where, you know, all the times I've given my signature and stuff for free, and I did anything that anybody asked for me, I try to do it with a light manner and diligently. And Russ, if they only knew Russ, they don't know Russ. He'd never, ever do that to me, because we're really good friends. The family, gosh, I tell you, I thought I had an awful lot of friends, and I still do. I'm sure I have an awful lot of friends out there, and I will see them at some other conferences down the road, and maybe we'll just bury this one down there. But, you know, things, it was really special to honor the 50-year film footage. It hurt that much more, is all, you know, for people to make a bad thing out of it and a money-grabbing situation. I'm not bitter anymore. I'm just trying to understand why somebody would do that to Russell and me. You know, Russell wouldn't, he doesn't need any money from me. Hey, Russell's only trying to help me. And his family are wonderful people. His wife and his little girl, I'll tell you what, I'd like to adopt them, you know. They're that kind of people.
Yeah.
And anybody that would really get to know Russell would know doggone well what he's trying to do for me.
Yeah, no, I understand.
Or what he is doing.
Yeah, you're
what
right.
Russell is doing and trying to do. Thank you.
Yeah, and the other thing too, Bob, is, you know, it comes down, you know, it's kind of the, I won't say Roger Patterson effect, but it seems like a lot of these people in this field get, if they think you're making a buck or if they think you're making money, everyone thinks that it should be their money. And so, and I see it all the time with these Bigfoot guys. That's why they always cry, oh, there's no money in Bigfoot. There's no money in Bigfoot. And anytime someone's making any little bit of money, there is this hatred towards them. And I kind of think it's a hatred and jealousy. They, you know, you and Russell must be swimming. You guys must be burning money at night to keep warm off all the money you guys are making. And it becomes this weird, yeah, it's ridiculous, but it becomes this weird jealousy. And if people only knew, like I said in the beginning, I know Russell sold this Harley to finance some of the stuff. And I don't think he's asked for anything back. And so I was kind of shocked by it, you know, a long time ago. That's why, like, the International Bigfoot Conference and all this other stuff, why I was so willing to help Russell and be like, yeah, let's promote it. Because I see stuff he does behind the scenes. And so it upset me when I saw all this. I know you're upset with Mark DeWerth. Are we going to be seeing you at the Ohio Bigfoot Conference this year?
Well, I'd like to say what I'd like to say, but I'm going to say definitely not. I will not go to any conference that Mark DeWerth puts on. And we're just going to try and, you know, he used my name for so many things, but he will not do it anymore because we're going to make sure of that.
Yeah, I hear you. Well, you know, go ahead, Bob.
I just wanted to say again that if anybody knew Russell personally, Russell's a businessman, but you know, that's beside the point. What he does with his business, Russell is fair and honest with me 100% or more. And if those people think that we're making a whole lot of money, we haven't even got the bills paid yet that cost to make the things that we're doing, not even close. And so Russell's putting out money. He's not making money, for crying out loud. These people are so far off beam. You're right. I think they're just jealous. And if they'd known I never made any money over the years, only money I made was what little bit that they gave me to come to those conferences, which was not even my wages that I would have lost if I was on a good job to go to them for them.
Yeah, and it's a shame, Bob. It really is a shame. I'm so sorry to hear this event got messed up the way it did. Like I said, I know this event meant more to you than, because you go to a lot of conferences, and I would imagine, you know, it's, you go to conference after conference after conference, but this was kind of a special 50-year anniversary of the Roger Patterson. And, you know, and that film means so much to people. It means so much to people who are into this field. And to have it turn into this, I don't know how anyone could say anything, but hey, I'm sorry. I'm sorry it went down like this. It's terrible. It's, you know, we screwed up.
Yeah.
And anything beyond that, I don't know what else you could say. You know, I see a lot of excuses online, but I don't see anyone being like, hey, we, you know, Bob's pissed and we messed it up and we're sorry. You know, we screwed it up. You know, it's like holding a Sasquatch Chronicles event, but there's no time for Wes to speak. People will be like, what? You know what I mean? And so when I heard that, I was just like, what? And hopefully it'll cool over, Bob. You know, it's, I'm so sorry that you went through this. I'd like to say it's par for the course, though, with regard to people in the Bigfoot world. It's just kind of the way it, I don't know why they act like that, to be honest with you. I don't understand it. I'm so sorry it went down like that.
Thank you. Well, I'm so sorry too for the people that travel to get there to enjoy, you know, visiting with me and hearing what happened down there that 20th day of October 1967, and you know, it was quite and of course it was the biggest event in my life and changed my life entirely, and then for this to be put down like that way. It hurts through and through. It's like sticking a dagger in me and twisting it, you know. It's still hard for me still yet to believe, really truly believe what they did and how they put Russell and me down, you know. And if they only knew, a lot of those people know me. They know that I'm sincere, honest, and wish them the best of luck and we'll talk to them about anything that they ask me about. You know, I love those people that come there, and I'm so sorry for them that they paid money and all to get there, and then it turned into something for a benefit for a couple of other guys, you know? It's just too bad. It's like I said before. We can forgive, but we probably won't forget.
Yeah, and I hear you, Bob. And my heart goes out to you. I'm so sorry the event went like that. It's there's no excuse for it, to be honest with you. There's no excuse. It should have been. I can't believe this is this actually went on. I'm really blown away by it. But was there anything else that happened that you wanted to get off your chest?
Well, no, I haven't got very many calls from it, but you know, I don't have a lot of time in the house to take calls. So if somebody's calling to say they're sorry about it, I haven't heard it yet. I do have a answering service in there, but you know, my wife takes care of that because I'm outside with the horses. I rode all day today on the horse and just got off and come down to visit with you. And so, but thank you so much for doing this. And you're my friend, always will be. And it's just too bad. It's almost unbelievable, but it did happen. And I'll probably never know why it happened, except jealousy and maybe a little greed for money. And I don't believe in greed for money because I'll help anybody anytime. Tom Yamron knows that. And I think anybody else that knows me will agree with that. You know, I mean,
yeah,
I'm not trying to.
Yeah, no, you're a generous guy. Yeah, no. And it, you know, like I said, it's just a shame. The whole thing really is a shame. I would have loved to have you on and say, hey, I had a great time. And, you know, it was a party of the century down there. And, but you know, Bob, you're always welcome on the show. I'll drop whatever I'm doing to have you on anytime. You could come on and talk about your sewing circle. And I know you don't have a sewing circle, but you could come on and talk about whatever you want to come on and talk about anytime. And,
thank you.
I'm glad you cleared the air. I guess it's on behalf of everyone else in the Bigfoot world. I'm sorry, Bob. What a mess, you know, what a mess.
Well, thank you so much. I tell you, I've always appreciated you a lot and still do, and more, you know, and I just hope that people out there that spent their money and stuff will maybe try and understand, and I'll see them at another conference somewhere. You know, if they see my name advertised, you know, back in Russell and I have some plans and plan on doing as much as we can get done in the near future. And by golly, I just hope that the people that lost out there I'll be able to see them and make it up to them somehow, some way. And so thanks again for letting me speak and tell my side of the story. I hope it didn't sound like I'm too tough on anybody, because I don't intend to do anything to sway anybody's mind. I just want them to hear what I had to say, make up their own mind about what really happened down there.
Absolutely. Anytime, Bob.
Thank you.
Thank you, Bob. What a mess. Well, it's not the show you guys normally get. I know normally I do encounters, but I wanted to bring Bob on, and Bob knows he's always welcome on anytime, so I'm glad I was able to help him get this off his chest, and I don't know what else to say. Until next time, everyone. This is my home. This is